getting hot in here, and we've just started the show, and I am already sweating, friends. I mean, I'm already dripping. I think this global warming thing is suffocating me. It is just cramping my style. Nothing is worse than getting up in the morning and getting ready, and then you have to get ready to get ready because you're dripping sweat and everything else. Now, guys, so much probably don't complain as much about that, but I know the women, it's a real problem because, you see, women have an unfair advantage where they put makeup on and the men often don't have makeup, but you know how that goes. And what are we talking about today, makeup or climate change? Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We have here joined us Barbara McGee from Los Angeles and Sally Fernandez from South Florida. Welcome both of our co-hosts today. And so hopefully we're going to educate you a little bit today on what's really going on this. And Barbara, I want to start with you coming from Los Angeles on the West Coast here. How bad is it, and is climate change a real problem today?
The problem with climate change is the diverse understandings about how it impacts us and what role we play in climate change. That is really the problem. And I think
are you saying Barbara, lack of education, you mean, and the real facts?
I think the people who educate us with climate change have an agenda. I think whether it is the politicians such as Rex Tillerson, who we find now is our Secretary of State, who is handling things from on a world perspective, politically for us as the United States, but his background is in commerce, it's in corporations, it's in the Exxon agenda. It reminds me to some degree of Dick Cheney and his vice presidency and Halliburton and how their agenda was advanced, in lieu of the fact that we all see the effects of climate change. Slowly but surely, we see it getting warmer. We see our seascapes changing. We see a pollution rising. And we all know that this is affecting us and our daily lives. And eventually, we're going to pay the price. Not for our personal advancement, but for the agendas of the corporations and their disbelief about climate change.
Okay, so Barbara, we've never talked about this prior, so I'm going to take it with the fact that you really do believe that we have a real problem on our hands with climate change.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's get that out there. I mean, hard to decipher anything different with what you just said. So you think that they're sort of that their hands are in the cookie jar, and all of these agendas they have and what have you play into this. Of course, Rex Tillerson just got on the landscape here, so you can't blame him on climate change, are you?
Well, when you have the ability to go into a country and change the economic status of that country, along with giving people, empowering people to use more negative energy, which would be oil, which would be fracking, which would be things that compromise the natural resources of the area. When we push that agenda, then what happens is there's a repercussion with Mother Earth. And to have people who are in power educating us and saying, no, there's no such thing as climate change, I think it's a problem.
Well,
and I'm not blaming anyone, but what
well,
I do
all right.
say
so
is
Barbara, do we go back to walking, and do we get rid of the cars, and do we start to walk everywhere and forget the airplanes, no flying? Is that the answer? And shame on Exxon for producing oil.
You're very funny. Well, I think what we don't realize is that the Western European culture, mm-hmm. such as the United States and some of the very advanced cultures that we have right now in the world, we are at a pitch with how we use energy, a very high, fine-tuned pitch. So what we need is the cooperation, actually, of the rest of the world, because we don't need them to become empowered with more cars. So if we can keep countries like, let's say, India in their state of darkness, Africa in their state of darkness, to where they're not contributing to this, then maybe we can continue to live as we have been.
Forgetting the political aspect that you see, which, you know, I can agree to some part and I will get, you know, I have a lot to say about the politics, but let's establish what is causing climate change, because you can't blame until we know what the cause is. So I think the confusion is, what is causing climate change? So do you believe it's humans that are causing it?
Well, I believe that in the last 100 years, with the advancement of this energy-driven society, that once we start looking to other countries to give us energy, natural resource energy, when we start poking holes in Mother Earth, like the way Mother Earth bled for like, I mean, we only can tell from what the news reports say, but really, that accident that happened off the southern Gulf coast, where the oil refinery had this spew of oil for almost over 200 days that I know of, then I say, yes, we are educated enough to have created this. And yes, our personal, our political and corporation advancement and the economic greed is really producing a certain level of climate change that is becoming irreversible.
Well, I am utterly confused at this point. I'll have to tell you, and I don't profess to be an expert in this, ladies, but I have to tell you, you just went and connected an oil spill in the Gulf from BP, I think, to Rex Tillerson, who just took the office of Secretary of State, to the fact that we're hotter than hell and humans are causing all this. I mean, I can't connect those dots. Sally, can you connect any? I can't rationalize what you're saying, Barbara. Can you, Sally?
Well, I'd like to kind of break it down, because I think, you know, what the conversation Barbara's having is the one that people are having everywhere. And it's like, you know, climate change is right up there with religion and politics and something, you know, we get very heated about. But if you break it down, basically, global warming, let's go back to global warming before we talk about
climate change. Why did they change the name, Sally? Do you know why they changed the name?
I'm going to tell you exactly why. Global warming is based on whether it's caused by man-made CO2. So it's induced in the atmosphere. It's called anthropogenic, human-made. So anthropogenic global warming. So there's one camp that says that there's very little impact of global warming based on empirical science. And they're called skeptics and deniers from the left. Then there are those who say that this AGW, this human-caused CO2, that is based on computer-driven climate models, and they're called alarmists by the right. So you have people who say, yes, humans are causing it, and others that say it's not. But that's where the debate is. Then what the administration did is they decided to use this linguistic hocus-pocus and switch from using the term global warming to some natural phenomenon that no one can be challenged. You can't say that climate doesn't change, but that didn't change the discourse. So now what we do is we have everybody saying, oh, it's climate change, everything that happens is climate change. But the whole argument is whether or not man-made CO2 is causing it. And if you come to the conclusion, which I have, based on empirical scientific data, it has very little impact. And so I can get into, and I'd like to get into later, what the costs are, the scam that I believe is happening. But the reality from my perspective and from many scientists whom I've worked with and talked with, there is no scientific data that CO2 has any great impact on global warming. And for people who talk about sea levels, there's zero correlation on sea level rise and CO2.
Well, Sally, I think that is a great discourse, and I appreciate that. And I agree with what you're saying after I've studied up on this. But the very interesting thing about this is how it's framed. And a lot of times, Malcolm, when we listen to the scientific community and the people that are in power, that's exactly how they renegotiate, reframe, and how they define things by empirical data or by scholarly resources or by peer reviews. So, Malcolm, if you're not a scholar, if you haven't spoken at Yale or Princeton, then your opinion and your experience on this earth is not valid. What you see in your community there in Florida with the changes that you've witnessed for the time that you've been on this earth. I've been on this earth for quite some time. I don't want to say how long, but I've been here for quite some time to be able to bring witness to the fact that, yes, our earth is changing, and it's not for the better.
Well, I will jump in from my perspective, Barbara, and it's this. Like a lot of people out there, I mean, I haven't really studied and got into the research and really combed through it to say, okay, where is this at? So you're right when you say we're sort of mercy with the media. And the problem is, back to what you said earlier, the politicians that you pointed out, a couple of Republicans that may have other agenda, not that the Democrats wouldn't, of course, God forbid, but that they all have agenda is what it is. But so does the mainstream media that you're pointing out, Barbara, who give all these facts and data and stats. The media absolutely has an agenda. They're as political as anybody is. And that really is where a lot of this corruption comes from, and the misinformation that we strew out there that everybody has and that we really can't seem to handle. But here's what I've looked at. When I look over the millennia and I see what's happened over time, and you look at Earth and you understand that this planet has changed so much and it continues to evolve with or without human beings. I mean, whether we're here or not, this planet takes on a life of its own because it just is this magnificent body of work, this little blue marble that's floating in the universe. We've got the gravitational forces, the magnetic field of the Earth. And we're just blessed to have just the right components here to have life. Thank God for that. And so we are all here having this fantastic conversation around the world in technology. But here you go. You know, you take a look at all that, Barbara. And you have to understand that this globe, this Earth, this little blue marble has evolved so much over the course of its lifetime. I've thought back to this, said, well, what happened there? Humans weren't here to do that. What happened there? They weren't there to do that. But then what gets me is, you're right with your point of political engine. So for Malcolm here, by the way, let me just tell you all that I don't know if I am sort of impartial to this conversation, Barbara, and just to let you know, because I don't play to the hysteria on the left or the hysteria on the right. I think they're all a bunch of crackpots, quite frankly. And so I come at this from a different vantage point. I'm more of a common sense driven individual, but I don't subscribe to the fact that the sky is falling necessarily. And what really gets me is a lot of the crackpots who do all the bitching on the sides of, these are the same people flying first class all over the place on private jets. They're the same people who drive the most expensive big cars going all around the planet. They're the same people doing all kinds of stuff to throw out as much against CO2 as they possibly can. And then these are the people who, again, I think where a lot of the emissions are is they open up their mouth. And that's where I think the gases come from, is all of the mouths that are throwing all the hysteria out there, Barbara and Sally. That's what I think. Now, listen, that's my rant. I gave you my 2 cents for what it's worth. My qualification up front, my disclaimer.
But you But Malcolm, you're making very, very good points. And I absolutely agree with you. There's a lot of waste. But I also think we're not out to destroy our planet. And over the years, we've improved our lifestyle. We've improved our standard of living. And we'll continue to do that. Here's where I have a problem. I absolutely believe that humans emitting CO2 do not have any great impact on our atmosphere. But the problem is that we're spending so much money for various reasons. We're spending money to bring down a CO2 level that doesn't exist and is not necessary. And we are also spending money because there's this little scam that I want to get into later, but I want to separate it from the science. So if we can get people to be rational and believe that CO2, the impact of human, is not causing a great impact, and start spending the money on the things that Barbara's talking about. You know, so for example, why shouldn't we focus on toxins and other poisons and carcinogens that are polluting and killing people? That's where the money should be spent. But we have this Paris Agreement that went on that all these countries signed on for, which is quite interesting because their goal is to reduce a global average temperature to keep it down below 2 degrees centigrade, and they want to have an ideal target at 1.5. I know some scientists, and I'll explain them later, but they've come out and they have empirical data. They deal with real temperature data, surface temperature, that says it's going to get no greater than 1.8. And so why are we spending, $100 billion a year over the next 5 years to bring down something that doesn't need to be brought down?
See, it looks like it's a very profitable industry, Barbara, and I think that's what I'm getting out of it. Back to the notion that you put out there initially, which I completely agree with you, Barbara, on, that everybody has a self-interest. And I think that's one of the problems. What I'd like to see, just before we pause here, is this. What about a self-interest in cleaning up our rivers and our lakes and people starting to do the right thing by not throwing trash around like it's their private junkyard? What about not throwing lit cigarettes out the window and stuff that really irritates me and drives me up the wall? I'm the guy who stops the person in front of me and tells them to pick up their cigarette butt or the trash they just threw on the ground. What about all that and keeping a better planet? Why can't people just do decent, decent things? I don't really have a political agenda about that. I happen to be a conservative who cares about the planet. I happen to be somebody who wants it to be a beautiful place for us and for our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. Why not? Why not? But why is everything always come down to political monkey business everything is agenda driven in this world, and I find it on every level. Sally, you bring up a great point I want to talk about just ahead as well, as you talk about with the Paris Agreement and all, which is quite fascinating with what's going on with that, and there's been a lot of speculation on what the Trump administration is going to do on that. But again, I think this whole thing about global warming, climate change, Al Gore, what if Al Gore had become president, I wonder? What would we look like? Imagine if he had been in there 8 years instead of George Bush. Now, George Bush, I don't think was a great president by any stretch. Of course, I haven't been happy in a lot of years with presidents, but that's a whole nother story. Boy, I am digressing, folks. I better get off of it right now. I'll be back just in a moment here with Barbara McGee and Sally Fernandez. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back with Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Global Warming. And we are desperately looking for this global warming, friends, or as they call it now, climate change. And it is, I don't think a lot of us really understand what's going on. But I have to, in full confession, before I toss it off to our co-host, Barbara McGee, a moment. And Barbara, I want to share with you and share with our listeners right now that Sally Fernandez, who's a phenomenal author, wrote a book on this. I don't know if you're aware of it, Barbara, called Climatized.
I didn't know, but she's very learned about this.
Well, there you go. Climatize. Yeah. She actually has a book out on it. And it's great, and it gets into some very interesting things, and I want to talk about on page 202 and 203 of that book in a little bit when it's my turn, on chapter 36, on the road to San Marino. I think that was a hit song at some point, I don't know. But there's some interesting stats in that book. But she's wrote a, and we'll have Sally talk about what that book is and all, but Barbara, you were talking about Al Gore. I was talking about Al Gore. What's the background on Al Gore? Do you know he was almost president?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Do you think he would have made a good president, Barbara?
Well, it was very unique, my experience with Al Gore. As you know, I'm a celebrity makeup artist and a personal attaché in Southern California. And I had a wonderful day that I spent with Al Gore. And this was in 2009. He was a guest at the mayor's home, and I was one of the premier attachés for the NAACP's 100th anniversary. And so anybody and everybody was there, and my responsibility actually was to Mr. Gore at that time. And he was, first of all, very eloquent, very passionate, and Sally, I mean, he was just jaw-dropping with the oozing of personality and the ambiance that you want men to have. You know what I mean? He was a successful man, and you just wanted to be in his presence. He has that kind of
I'm glad you said presence. I thought you were going to say pants for a minute. I don't know where you were going with that on this. But, Barbara, but, you know, right away, your political stripes show very clearly because you describe Tillerson and what's his name? Wienerhead there, the VP there. Of the Bush administration, you describe them as little monsters, and you describe Gore as this celebrator, what have you. Do you know how much money he's made from this global warming climate change business, Barbara?
Well,
you talk about self-interest and self-pity and getting loaded and rich. Do you know how much money he's made from this industry, love?
Well, that is exactly my point.
Point
is
throw him under the bus, then. I'm with you. Go ahead.
He was there to push the agenda, because he was technically the spokesperson for climate change, if we remember, if we think back. And he was the point person with all of the information, with all the numbers. He came to the NAACP really to talk about it, to push that agenda. And at the same time, he had a television station that was showing all of the agendas that we want more information on. It was called Current TV.
Right, and then he sold it to
Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera got a lot of crap for that. I got to tell you.
Yes, and he disappeared from public eye.
I think the global warming monsters got him.
Well, what I felt that I felt that with him being so visible and prolific about global warming, and then selling Current TV, and then getting the money, and then disappearing, I felt betrayed. As a fan, as a Democrat, as a person, and as a citizen of the earth. Because what he was talking about was very viable. And we had no one to pick up the mantle after that to really educate people and give people an alternative understanding about what was really happening. Now, I live in California, and I love the coast of California. But to give you a perfect example, you know, just about a month ago, we received all the rate, now nobody talks about this, but we received from Washington State, Oregon, all the way down to Southern California, we just received all the radioactivity that came from Fukushima. It started about 14 months ago with things running up on the coast and people getting out there and saying, oh, wow, this is a car. Where did it come from? As if we've forgotten that we had this major meltdown at Fukushima in Japan, and nobody wants to talk about who is responsible for cleaning up the Pacific Ocean.
Well, that Fukushima thing is a hell of a story, actually. I've been tracking that story, Barbara, and the collective garbage that has been, as you say, coming along here, was going to hit the West Coast. It was just a matter of time that it was going to hit the country here, you know, hit the nation. And so that's what was happening. So where was you going with that, though, with all that?
Well, where I'm going with that was deposited in the, because, you know, I'm very aware and very in touch with San Francisco. That's where I'm actually from, the Bay Area. And, you know, we didn't even have a crab season. Not that I eat crab, but that shows the signs of our irresponsibility and the effects when we pay no attention or when we allow the media to give us a definition for what our responsibility is and what corporate responsibility is to the earth.
Barbara, was the lack of the crab season, was that due to the Fukushima or was that due to climate change?
It was due to both, that the species was so tainted that it couldn't, I mean, we had no crab season. That actually happened. And the Obama administration sent out, whatever they send out when there's resources given to a particular entity that can't make money. Yeah, that happened in San Francisco for the first time in a long time. So we're seeing, and we call it climate change, but what we're really talking about is high-level pollution that is taking our rivers, our oceans, that is taking our land, because we are irresponsible keepers of Mother Earth.
Barbara, can you help me do something? Because I agree with everything you just said, and I agree with what Malcolm said. And if we could all agree to convince everybody that climate changes, it is not caused by humans. But what we do cause is pollution. We do have the capacity to clean up our environment. But if we're wasting it on convincing people that it's due to CO2 in the atmosphere, and it's billions and billions of dollars that are being spent, it's being wasted from doing all of the things that you said are necessary. And so if we can get the word out to people to stop saying climate change is some generic thing that people are causing and putting CO2 into the atmosphere, which, by the way, makes plants and creates crops and feeds people, so it's actually a good thing. If we can focus on the fact that the climate changes and we use our ingenuity and our technology to keep our environment clean and safe, because that's where I find the scam of the whole thing. It's just the convincing. And to go back to your eloquent gentleman that you met, Al Gore is the one that has perpetuated this thing. He has created the cottage industry. And trust me, he hasn't gone away, because he started this back in 1992. You'll all remember the Earth Summit. And he partnered up with a man named Maurice Strong, who was considered the godfather of the environment, and started this whole Agenda 21 sustainable development. But it's quite interesting, because it was the same year that Gore published his book, Earth in Balance, which was a follow-up to, you know, the precursor to The Inconvenient Truth. But we say if Al Gore had been president, it didn't matter, because when Al Gore was vice president, he was the impetus behind President Clinton setting up an executive order that established this basically the Clean Air Act that was or it was a President's Council for Sustainable Development, but it was basically to ratify the Agenda 21 that wasn't really a treaty. But it goes on and on and on, and then Al Gore set up the Chicago Climate Exchange through a nefarious way, which was carbon trading. Then he set up his own company. He has pocketed and pocketed and pocketed money.
Well, this became a massive career for him, Sally. I mean, this became unbelievable.
He started the climate, the whole cap and trade thing.
Yeah.
Where you trade carbon, which means if I don't pollute, I can sell mine and then you can pollute more, which was kind of a really stupid thing. But he ended up going in with David Blood from Goldman Sachs. Interestingly enough, the Climate Exchange started because the Joyce Foundation gave $1 million to some economist in Northwestern University. The people on the Joyce Foundation happened to be a Senator Barack Obama. They gave him $1 million to figure out whether cap and trade was feasible, and they established this climate exchange. They ended up selling it, and he ended up getting like $90 million for his share. And Gore and Blood also got 10% of it.
You know, it just dawns on me, Sally and Barbara, how really brilliant these politicians are. It just dawns on me, not that I didn't think they were prior to this, but it really just hits me head on right now how brilliant, Barbara, they all are. I mean, every one of them. I'm talking Democrats, Republicans. In other words, it's a very elite select club. If you can belong on and belong to that, and they pulled the wool over, you know, people like us out here, just real people making a living, trying to do the right things, good stewards. And they're all in it for their own personal agenda. And they propagate all of this nonsense out there in every aspect. And this is way beyond climate change and global warming. This is every aspect of life. And it just dawns on me that we're becoming just excess. It's like one big crime scene at this point that you see going on in I don't know. Again, Sally, I think you know at this point from previous interactions here, I'm becoming more and more anti-government. Barbara, and I know you love government, but I'm becoming more and more anti-government in my life. The older I get, the more I have no use for government on either side of the aisle, because I think they're all a bunch of crooks, thieves, and convicts. Future and past.
Well, Malcolm, let me just say this, and Sally, I really appreciate your being able to finite the history, who got what, this, that. I mean, you have it there blow by blow. I really am excited to read your book. Sally, I just have a question here. And, you know, I know that you're not responsible, so I don't want to seem like I'm attacking your position. But I do want to see, I want you to see that, yes, we're Western forward. And we like our lifestyle in the West. And we do not want to give up anything. I mean, we don't even want to give up. I am not going to get a hybrid car. Okay, so I'm happy buying gas. And I must I have to say this because I had a choice. And I didn't choose to go with a hybrid car. I chose a gas-operated car. So in my...
You're going to hell, Barbara McGee.
Yes, in my volition of my execution of what I have personally, I did not make a decision to protect the earth.
Right.
But what we're saying, what we're technically saying, is as long as we can have what we have uninterrupted, then it's okay. Now, I don't want India. This is what we're also saying. I don't want India to do what I'm doing. Because if India catches up with what I'm doing over here with my carbon footprint, then we all have an issue. If Africa becomes Western forward, I mean, they just got a good niche of 24-hour lights and the ability in some countries, believe it or not, to be able to use electricity 24 hours a day via Akon, the rapper. But I will say this to you. If they catch up with us and practice how we practice, then you don't think we're going to have a problem globally? You don't think that's going to create an impact?
It will not create an impact because, first of all, nobody's going to try to reduce their standard of living. What we are going to do, and I do believe we are going to continue to use our technology, our ingenuity to improve. Now, unlike Obama, who went over and lectured Africa about not having refrigerators and air conditioners and so forth, you know, you talked about India being in the dark. They're our number three emitter of CO2 after China and the U.S. So we all have to get a cap on the different aspects of our life that are polluting our world. But we have to focus on what is causing it. And so it gets back to this whole climate change thing. It's not CO2. Let's spend the money on where it really needs to be applied.
Well, you bring up a good point, Sally. You're getting back to the root cause is what you're speaking about here. And you know, Barbara, the standard of living is what we're speaking about, the standard of living. And there's no doubt that the standard of living in the United States of America is the best in the world. I mean, we are very privileged people here in this country. We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Although our conversation is becoming very heated over climate change. My name is Sally Fernandez, and I'm here with Barbara McGee from the West Coast and Malcolm Out Loud. And we're talking about my recent novel, Climatized. And I'm really hot on the subject, no pun intended, but it's because it's the whole conversation about climate change and CO2 and humans cause it. We have to understand that we, as humans, have very little impact, yet there is an awful lot we can do to take care of our environment and protect it. And Barbara, you were talking about some of the things that we should do, and you brought in solar power.
Well, you know, first off, I really want to commend you on your book and your knowledge and your research that you've done on this book, because you bring a lot of great points forward. But, you know, we're living in a time where the politicians that actually are representing us now are, you know, they're business-minded people. And now we find ourselves faced with, you know, this evolution of this wall that they say is going up, you know, on our southern border. So, you know, what if, okay, if that's a reality, then what if that wall, and this wasn't my idea, but this is an idea that's being spoken about. What if that wall were a solar-powered wall that not only can we benefit as the United States citizens from this solar energy from one coast to the next, but that Mexico, which is needs to be powered also to improve their way of life, what if it was a solar wall? Would that be an argument? I mean, I think that would be one of the most fantastic things that possibly could happen in the diaspora of the new government and their goal for this wall. Hmm. What do you think about that, Sally?
I think it would be an excellent idea. The only problem is that for solar power and wind energy, you know, when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, we haven't yet found a way to harvest that energy. So until such time we do, I don't see it being really feasible, but that
I have the answer. I have the answer.
I hear the wind blowing in right now.
Let me give it to you right now. So if we take from the southern border and we run a large hose, like a vacuum, all the way to the Capitol, right in Congress there. We'll have all the hot air we need, Barbara McGee, to totally solarize that freaking wall. We'll all be loaded, rich, make money, Mexico and the U.S., just from the hot air coming out of Washington, D.C. What do you think of my idea?
Brilliant.
Well, I'll say this, Sally, you know, God bless you, but, you know, you sound like a solar and wind, you know, is like manna. You know, you can't, if you don't pick it today, then tonight we can't get it tomorrow. You know, I believe that our technology, when funded, when these people that are like the Elon Musk, you know, if we could get them to stop focusing on going to Mars or to their planet and focus on how we can better live here, if we could just be able to harness and get some incentive, you know, like if you go solar with your house, there's a great tax incentive for that. If you go solar with your car, there are incentives that are out there for us to be able to buy these cars that, you know, have zero emissions. I mean, let's consider what we personally can do to minimize our personal carbon footprint. And then I want to say, when was the last time you seen a bee? I cannot believe that myself personally, I was at an event about 2 weeks ago and I saw a monarch butterfly. You know, I haven't seen a butterfly in almost 5 years.
Well, Barbara, you need to get out more often, love. Come on.
Okay.
Where the hell are you hanging these days?
Yeah, I agree with you, but it's not CO2 that's causing it. It's interesting you brought up Elon Musk, because I just happen to have a quote from him who said, "We are running the most dangerous experiment in history right now, which is to see how much carbon dioxide the atmosphere can handle before there's an environmental catastrophe." Now, if you can get him, go convince him that it's not a catastrophe, it's not happening, and spend your money on doing all the things that you have mentioned that will make us a better place. And again, I keep bringing us back to climate change. You know, I hope all the people listening right now, and I hope I've convinced Malcolm and Barbara to just tell everybody, CO2 is not the enemy. Let's stop spending money and put it into the right places.
All right, Sally, one question for you. All right, then why don't you just give us a little backdrop about the greenhouse gases and how one cow, if we were to reel back and just not eat one cow, you know, they do say there is data out there that says that these cows that are being raised. Now, I don't know if you've ever traveled past a cow farm and smelled it. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be on a freeway and before you can get to the cow farm where they're slaughtering for meat, you can smell it 10 miles away. And when you get closer to it, you can no longer breathe. They say that one cow is emitting enough green gas to cause a problem.
Barbara, now, hold on.
Okay, okay.
Have you ever smelled my neighbor's cesspool? I mean, you want to talk about smell. And Barbara, you mean to tell me you don't eat steak of any kind or beef, no?
Well, you know, I am really trying to pull back. I enjoy beef. I love it, but I think I can do better.
Well, I love the fact that you brought up the cows. Because I lived in San Francisco for 17 years, so I'm very familiar with the Left Coast. And your lovely mayor, Boombeam, wants to impose a tax on cattle farmers because of the methane gas that's released. Now, it's quite interesting that, and I'd like to tell you a little bit, in a little while, about some of the people I've been working with in terms of the research on my book, but one of them is a world-renowned scientist on sea levels, but he also is very aware of this whole methane greenhouse gas issue. The methane gas that rises into the atmosphere gets to a certain level and totally dissipates, so it has no effect whatsoever. So tell Moonbeam he doesn't need to tax the cattle farmers.
Well, first off, Jerry Brown, now governor, is a personal friend of mine. I resent Moonbeam, okay?
That was his nickname. When he was governor of, when he was the mayor of Oakland, he was considered Mayor Moonbeam.
Yes, absolutely.
Said with love and affection, I think.
Yes. But, you know, I will agree that he's done some things that I don't necessarily agree with. And like I say, I don't feel that any of us as private citizens are being respected or represented. But what I will say is that California is light years away from the rest of the nation in its experience trying to create a lesser carbon footprint. And I think the more educated people become, I think the more wealthy they become, and I don't mean in money, I mean in their intrinsic value of wealth as a human being.
But then their carbon footprint has no impact.
Well, I agree to disagree. I believe that everything we do has an impact. That's what we are. We are beings that impact Mother Earth. We impact interpersonally each other. We impact the future. There is no way that you can say that my inertia does not impact the future of how we all are.
And no, that's not what I said. I'm talking about the carbon planet.
I beg to differ, Sally, with all of us on this planet. If we don't get a rein in on what we're doing that is negatively impacting Mother Earth, we're going to have an effect.
But let's define what we are doing that's causing it. And we're spending trillions of dollars on trying to reduce CO2 from the atmosphere. It has very little impact. Let's focus on the things that we are impacting negatively. I'm just talking about redirecting it to something that can have some benefits.
Sally, here's a big question. Do we know with the research that you've done what is impacting it in a great way?
Yes. The wind, the sun, the clouds, the demographics. They talk about sea level. It is rising. Sea level isn't rising. Things are sinking for different reasons. We just need to focus on why places are getting cooler, why places are getting warmer. We need to prepare for it. But I just want the conversation to be directed to where it should be. Now, I've been working, when I wrote Climatized, I kind of incorporated some real life experts into the book. After I finished it, I had them read it to kind of fact check it. And I worked with a group called the Right Climate Stuff Group, research team, and they're a group of former Apollo astronaut scientists and engineers. And they have used 165 years of surface temperature data to be able to determine what the CO2 increase in the atmosphere will be. And they come that it's only going to be 1.8 degrees and it could be far less. Yet we're spending, you know, $25 billion a year in the U.S. alone to prevent all of this catastrophic thing that's going to happen because of climate change. So I'm just trying to get the focus back to what the real cause is so we can spend our money and direct it in a more appropriate way.
Interesting. I want to read something to you both and to our listeners from the Climatized book, which is fascinating to me, chapter 36. Barbara, listen to this. Antonio, you told me that when you and Simone discussed global warming, you disagreed as to the cause. So what is your take on climate change if it's not global warming? Nice try, but I'll only discuss the testimony on videotape. Antonio caught her sunken expression in the mirror. She's just making small talk, Antonio. Well, Noble interjected, but I'd be interested in your opinion as well. Antonio thought, what's the harm? And moved in with his pitch, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, is posturing that man-made CO2, when released into the atmosphere, produces warmer temperatures. But in reality, overall, man-made emissions have little effect. Well, it's interesting. It goes on to say here, there's a total disconnect between CO2 and the Earth's surface temperatures, what's being touted by the IPCC, does mesh with the numbers. I place my money on the analytical stats. So reducing CO2 will have little long-term effect on temperatures. And to sum that up, and then says, it's actually making Earth greener, which will be beneficial to crops and forests. So what do you say about that, Barbara McGee? Well, that it actually makes the Earth greener.
I think it's a beautiful dissertation, as I said. Interestingly, though, that we've seen that Sally chose to write this in a novel form. I have a problem with the scientific community, because the way it works when you're using empirical and scholarly driven information is that you attach yourself onto someone else's project. In other words, you research and you find the scholar that has already put together, let's say, 40% of the work. And then you ask them for their opinion, their permission and opinion, and then you build from 40 to 47. Someone else comes in and goes from 47 to 62, all building off this one ideology. Now, if anybody else comes in with another idea, you have to find another scholar who has written in a certain community to be able to build on that. So when we're looking at information that is being put together by people who are furthering their scientific agenda, the same thing that we hear from what she is saying is just as far as we can find that disagree.
Except so, Barbara, let me just cut you off right there. I'm sorry, but you're absolutely right. You're describing what the IPCC does, where they have 10,000 volunteer scientists that all come in with their peer review and their advice, and they build their climate models based on the data. But I'm talking about a group of astronauts, scientists, and engineers who work together singularly. They came up with formulas, they tracked actual surface temperatures, and they have the formulas to prove their empirical data falls out. It's not like these climate models that can't calculate clouds and heat and so forth and so on. So we're not talking about, you know, years and years. We're talking about the same group who has been tirelessly working on this for over the last 20 years. They are the scientists who, you know, they send astronauts into space and need to know whether they're going to freeze in the space station or not. So I agree with you, but you're describing what the IPC does. And that's why they've been discredited time and time again. But that's the holy grail for climate change.
What's really happening is that we are impacting Mother Earth, however you want to define it, negatively.
And but you have to define
more
it.
More than we're giving out.
Well, it's funny. The argument we started out with that Sally said about defining it is really where we're at now. And this is part of the challenge, actually, we have with this topic, because where we started is where we're going to end. Think about it, ladies. We started with the fact that Sally said, well, you have to define the problem, and it's not CO2. And of course, Barbara, you had many of the talking points. I said, well, you're not so sure. And you went on and on. And, you know, but it really is about defining the problem, or we're running around. You know, I think there's a bigger problem here with climate change. And it's this: if it gets too hot, okay, what's going to happen is this. We are going to have the next baby boom. Because what's going to happen is people are going to end up taking all their clothes off. And I think this is going to cause the next baby boom.
Are we into the pleasure segment of the show?
Exactly. We'll be running around naked, you know that, from this climate change problem. You missed a big opportunity in California, actually. I want to chime in and tell you what that opportunity was. When you were having that elongated drought and everybody was struggling out there with getting water out there, you know, the opportunity you missed is all you had to do is collect all the tears from all the whining and crying coming out of Hollywood. And if you'd have collected all the tears from all those actors when Trump got into office, you'd have so much freaking water out there, you wouldn't know what to do with it.
Well, let me tell you.
I love it. We got crying Hollywood and we got Congress blowing hot air.
The book is called Climatized. It's a Max Ford thriller. And I'm going to put links right on the show page to Climatized. And you know what? After you read the book, Barbara McGee, let's have a rendezvous on this topic down the road in a month or two, okay?
I would love to.
Let's do it, Barbara. It'll be really cool to have another engaging conversation on this topic because you're well-informed and you know how to read these things, and I'll be curious to see what your interpretation is once you get through the book. But again, I'm going to put a link right on the show page to Climatized on America Out Loud. You'll find it right there. You know, I find it interesting. I'm having a grand old time here. You have to know that out there. But I do find it interesting when you bring the different voices together, how we can take a topic like this and shred it to pieces on both sides of the aisle. And it really is, you know, everything always seems to come down to being politicized, a political agenda. And yet at the core of things, at the core of everything, the more and more I see that, the more I find that people innately are good, and they really want what's best for their families and the world at large and the fellow man. But I think the means of how they get there, that's where we differ. And sometimes it's funny how facts can be a really strange thing. When you look at facts, how one group can interpret them one way and another group can interpret them another way. I guess for me, I don't really have a big agenda, friends. I'm really just trying to push the ball up a tall mountain here and trying to get the truth out every single day. And we appreciate you joining us at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Barbara McGee, Sally Fernandez. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued.